Good morning, everybody. This is Judith A. Cope. You're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. So, we had a very interesting dementia weekend. My mom, I don't know what it is about Saturday. She just gets turned up. Almost every other day is okay, except for, it used to be Wednesday and Saturday. Now it's just Saturday, and she cannot sleep. She is up. I tucked her in probably 7-8 times. She had accidents. We had to change sheets. We had to, it was just so dramatic. And she was literally up every 2 hours. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm going to go to sleep. But then she popped right back up. She fell because, of course, I gave her regular medication and CBD so she could sleep. And she would not sleep, so she would keep getting up. She was wobbly on her feet. She fell in a way that I didn't think I could help her. And I finally got her to move, and I was able to lift her up enough that she could grab onto the bed. But it was just a lot. And it takes 2 seconds to tell you, but it's like a night terror. I mean, I have fully come to the conclusion that I'm not going to survive like this. I mean, her care is requiring more and more of me, lots less sleep, and I just can't do it. You know, there comes a point where everybody has to go, wait, I can't do this. And my caregiver is great. I love my caregiver, but she's not 24 hours and she's pregnant. So that means she's taken off like more in the last 3 weeks than she has in 2 years. So it's like, and then she's young. She's not that young. She's in her 30s, but she's like, oh, I can just have this baby and I can get right back to work. I'm like, that's not normally how it works. You get time off and you're going to want to take it because delivering a baby in your 30s is hard. It's tough on your body. And it's your first baby. You're going to want to be at home with him or her. So, and I get that. So I am definitely looking for a place to put my mom. So here's where it gets interesting, guys. And this is where I'm constantly reminding people. Someone sent me a message yesterday on Facebook asking my opinion on this. If you have money, $3,000 to $4,000 to $5,000 a month, you can put your loved one in any number of places. There are plenty of private pay places. Now, reputations vary greatly. In the St. Louis area, I've only heard 2 places that people liked from their own experience, and they both were part of the Lutheran Services group. So one was, well, I shouldn't blow my covers because in case I try to get my mom in there. But those were good, I heard. And then, I'm selfishly keeping the names. Because I'm telling you, these beds are hard to get, you know, even private pay. But still, if you have to do Medicaid, I would also then consider spending any money I had on a home health service to come in every day and back you up as another set of eyes on your loved one. And from what I understand, most places will allow that. And, I think it's smart because we have to allow these places some grace. I mean, I'm running out of patience. And I just have one person, but when they get demanding and violent and, angry and peeing and pooping all over, like, it just becomes too much. I can't imagine a whole facility full of that kind of behavior. And I don't know what the long-term solution is. You can try to keep them as home as long as you can, but if you're the only caregiver, you're just not going to be able to continue to do that. This is a very progressive, aggressive disease, and it just wears you down. And like I said, 40% of caregivers die before their patient. I am bound and determined to not be in that group. But I did feel that at different times last week when I was like, I'm just awake. I'm not asleep. I'm not getting good rest. And I'm infuriated. And I could just feel like muscles tightening and That's not, that's a recipe for a cardiac event or a stroke or something. And, you know, no thanks. Then we'll both need a caregiver. So anyway, be thoughtful about it. But there is going to come a time where you're going to have to spend either your money or you're going to have to put her in, or put your loved one in some sort of facility that's government based. But be prepared. You're going to have to go up there all the time because, you know, they don't pay well. And I guess it goes state by state. So you need to discover, figure out what state you live in. And I'm going to guess Missouri's not one of the best. I looked up the top five and it was like Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, you know, Alaska. Because nobody lives in Alaska. So that makes sense. Like, you're not going to be servicing that many people with Medicaid. But yeah, Massachusetts, that's good to know. I like Massachusetts. I know people say it's racist. I did not experience that. I did find it snobby, the actual Boston, but I loved Martha's Vineyard. It was really pretty. And the whole state is pretty. Pretty kind of like Washington State, but without mountains, because it rains there a lot and it's cold. Massachusetts can be cold. Anyway, I'm rambling. I was tired. It was a long weekend and I've made some decisions. So, you know, I thank all the people who find this podcast helpful. I enjoy sharing these stories, but this is a tough road to hoe, as my dad used to say. And when you're a caregiver for an Alzheimer's patient, I mean, it can just, like, 2024 has just been rough. I mean, we're not even out of April, and it's been three major health crises. That's a lot. So anyway, what was I? I felt like I had something I wanted to talk about, but you know, by the time I actually get to work, I might forget. Oh, today is, speaking of work, today is my work anniversary. On April 23rd, 2018, I started the current job that I have now, which I intend to leave at some point this year. Because I'm truly wanting to go back to working for myself. So I was working for myself when I lost that big client. I've told the story. I lost a big client in December of 2017. And I was like, you know what? I need just a regular paycheck for a while. And I just didn't feel like I was going to be able to replenish, you know, what started off being close to a $60,000, $70,000 contract. And then the more I got into it, the more they were like, oh, we'd rather hire 5 to 10 people and pay them peanuts than one great person who wants the 70K. You know, like, I didn't understand their arrangement. And so it was very strange. And I wound up going 4 months without a paycheck. I'm going to tell you something. That's a long time. And when you're single, you notice the income is not coming in. And it was just a strange, difficult time. And my mom is not somebody you want to be in a foxhole with. You know, we were living off her money and I was managing that. And it was, she's just always been stressed about money. And it was very, very difficult. And I think I had exhausted my unemployment. It was something very untenable. I forgot my PIN code. I hadn't used my debit card in so long. That's crazy. So it was just a rough stretch. I got this gig. It's, when I can talk about it, it's a very fascinating position. And I've written a screenplay, a teleplay actually, based on TV pilot, based off of my time here. It's going to be killer. It's going to be so good. And I do plan to shoot that series, and I do plan to see it be a success, because in order for us to change the destiny of where we are as a people, we need to be honest about where we are right now. And that's what that show is designed to do, which explains why there's been so much resistance to my career. You see what I'm saying? Like, I know that I'm a good screenwriter, But I knew that I did not fit in well in LA. I just wasn't comfortable there. I didn't feel like the people were being very genuine. I met a lot of duplicitous people. And I just didn't come across the right path. And I was in some of the best places you could be. But then now I understand, like, spiritually, I wasn't aligned with their mission and what they had told us their mission was. And then over the years, it's just become more and more obvious they don't care about anything but making money and pushing these weird sex agendas and this fake commitment to diversity. I mean, you constantly talk about diversity and equity and inclusion. And then when you watch a show, it's like, oh, you just tacked up some black people on here just so you can have somebody meet your agenda or meet the quota. You know, it's not that hard to find talented people that no one's ever heard of. You know why? Because it's a ton of us. It's a ton of us. That's why. And you don't want to give people a chance to give you a fresh perspective because you want to keep hiring your same old fucking friends and making the same old fucking tired stories. And then you wonder why people are not going to the movies or not watching that shit. You know, it's like, how long can you make the same movie? There's something out now that I'm like, this is preposterous. Is it Back to the Future? It's something with like old Michael, like Michael J. Fox now with Parkinson's. And I'm like, why is this a thing? I might be misremembering it, but I swear there's something that's really old that's coming back. And I'm like, I'm all for remakes, especially of things that you didn't know, like that weren't big hits, and you have an opportunity to retell that story in a powerful way. Like Single White Female remade now could be fucking terrifying. Like they could really make it scary. They probably couldn't call it Single White Female, but I won't say it was very well done, but like the premise was terrifying. Jennifer Jason Leigh did a great job of like freaking me out. And that could be remade now with cell phone technology and text and social media and all the scary ass ways you could stalk somebody. Like that would be great. But why are we remaking the same superhero movies? Now there's another Joker, I think with a lady Joker. I don't want to see that shit. It's grim. It's dark. I'm not sure. I like Joaquin Phoenix. I'm not sure he deserved an Oscar for that. I mean, it's just weird. What are we teaching our kids? Like, there's nothing for people to watch in a film that has any humanity in it. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up watching Kramer versus Kramer. You know, it's such a simple plot. A man and a woman get divorced and she leaves her son behind, which at the time probably sounded crazy, but I actually have a sibling whose wife did not send for her kids at the end of the summer. She just didn't want them. She had two sons and she just left them with their dad. It happens. So, and that was around the late 70s. So when that movie came out, it was like revolutionary, I guess, but it's such a simple story. But it's so well done. And Dustin Hoffman, who also has a ton of sexual harassment claims, it's almost like don't get to know these people, don't read about them because you're just going to find out horrible things. But his performance in that was very good. And a very brief but powerful performance from Meryl Streep. And the little boy was great. He went on to be the disgusting brother in 16 Candles. But that was such a simple plot. But it was well done. And it gives kids, like, it was like my parents got divorced in the 80s. And when I was watching that, it was powerful. It was like, yeah, you know, it's not the end of the world. If they can figure out how to get along, you know, we can make it work. We're not giving kids any nutritional value in their entertainment. And it's almost like it's done on purpose. In fact, not even almost. I know it's done on purpose. There's a reason why you don't learn entrepreneurship in school. They don't want you to be an entrepreneur. They want you to be a sheep. They want you to just walk around and buy things and desire things and spend your money on all the stuff that they're overpricing so they can make more money off of you. You know, there's an illusion of choice. You know, the fact that we have two political parties is ridiculous. That's the ultimate illusion because they're all funded by the same people. There was a guy on TikTok yesterday who broke down Republicans and Democrats, all these top ones. They are all funded by AIPAC. That's one political action committee that's committed to Israel. And they got both sides of the aisle and they spend a lot of money. And it's like, this makes no sense to me. You know, why are we pretending like everybody's conservative or liberal or this or that? They're not. And this, what's with this weird agenda too with somebody pointed out all the celebrities who have trans kids? Being trans is like a unique class. It is not something that is this common. And it's like I heard a biologist say, you know, you hear all these people talking about they don't feel like they're in the right body. And she's like, it does not have anything to do with how you feel. It's biology. You're either male or female. That's it. It's not a feeling. And I feel like there's some brainwashing going on. So many stars have a trans kid or two, which makes you feel like there might be some sort of agenda to normalize this. And I don't have any issue with it if it's legit. If you make it to 21, 18, 20, adulthood, and you still feel like you just have to change your body and be on hormones for the rest of your life, at least be an adult when you make that decision. And that doesn't make me a crazy conservative. That's just logic. And why are we giving Big Pharma so much money to give hormones to people who are going naturally through puberty? Give it a shot. You might like it. I think Angelina and Brad had a daughter that was, she wanted to be John for a while, and now she's back to being Shiloh. Because guess what? Kids change their minds. They're going to change their minds a million times before they reach 18. And it's really disturbing when the parent is white and the child they've adopted is black and now they're trans. It's like, really? Is something else going on? Like, it's just so weird and we've normalized this behavior. I'm not judging anybody. I just don't understand it. It seems strange. You know, are you not comfortable with your black male child in your house? It's just, I just don't get it. I really don't get it. And why this is normal and no one's talking about it, I really don't get that. And also, dementia winter is coming. What are people doing? How are people not prepared? No one is telling people, except for me, what to get ready for. 70 million people considered to be senior citizens. We've seen this ship coming our way for about, since the 60s. Everybody knew these people would age. You know, all that population boom of the 50s. Now these people are aged and it's coming due, man. And no one seems to be ready. No one's talking about it. A lot of these people are going to have dementia. A lot of these people are going to have long-term illnesses because that's really what we're talking about. Dementia is a long-term mental illness. And all the medicine that they prescribe for your loved one is going to be based off of antipsychotic drugs, antidepressant drugs, things to suppress hallucinations. It's all mental based. I even saw that they even offer things like risperidone and haloperidol. Those are all for like deep mental illness. So it's like, what is going on here? Is dementia a mental illness? And if so, we know you haven't done any strides in mental illness health. So we're just sitting ducks. What's going to happen with all these people? A good chunk of them are going to have dementia. A good chunk of them are going to have some kind of long-term illness. Our system is not designed to provide for that. Hospitals showed us during COVID they're not ready. And then the government, I think, tried to pull one over on us with these fucking vaccines that seem like they're scams. Don't read what's in the vaccine, because then you'll know that it probably made you sicker. You know, it's like, what is happening? Where's the character? Where's the moral compass? And I did like the transition from Trump to Biden during the pandemic, because I was tired of listening to Trump say crazy things. And then he had the insurrection. It's like, how this is even up for debate that this guy should run and win again is ridiculous. But, I mean, Joe is old as dirt. He is super old. And he has some questionable shit going on. I know, if you read anything about Hunter Biden, you're going to be like, wait, this is weird. Like, if this guy was Trump's son, it would be splashed in the news nonstop. So whoever the gatekeepers are, whoever's really in charge of the media, who's ever really, they're scamming you. You need to figure out and read about the things you need to know about. And one of them is going to be, what are your healthcare options for your family? Because it might not just be your parents. It might be you. You got to figure it out. And you got to have a plan. And I don't know, I figure a lot of people are just going to throw their loved ones in a home. But guess what? It might not be any room in those homes. Or you might not be able to afford it. So you need to ask yourself some serious questions and get ready. Because I'm not sure why no one's talking about it, but it's going to be problematic. And who's going to be able to pay for all of this? It seems like our future has been sent to Ukraine. And why is all of our money going to Ukraine? Listen, I felt bad for them at first. That was terrible. And then you start to read about it and you're like, well, wait, Hunter and Joe had a lot of business dealings with Ukraine. That crazy Soros, he has a ton of people in Biden's White House. And he's a big Ukraine guy. Like, why are we doing this? We're leveraged to the hilt for Ukraine. Why? Why? How can you pay for immigrants to come here and then send money to Ukraine, but then you can't lower the prices of food so regular Americans can afford to feed their family? I don't know. Food has gone up, I would say, at least double. And some of the things I buy, maybe triple. And no one seems to want to talk about it. I predict that there's going to be a collapse of the systems that we know. And I don't think it's going to be bad. People are going to survive. We're just going to start all over like we always do. But you know what? I do think evil is getting exposed. I think it's being removed. And that's going to help us a ton. People are starting to show their true colors. They can't hide it. Some of these people are not good people, and they have an agenda, and their agenda has nothing to do with your success. They don't care about that. They care about lining their pockets. So, and I'm not being cynical, or, you know, look at this puffy stuff. It is so deep. You know, he has allegedly been involved with a lot of laundering, money laundering, crime. You know, and people think he's going to be protected. I don't think he will, because I think he's exposing too many people. To protect him means to protect too many other people that have already been exposed. And it's much deeper than just having secret gay sex with people and spiking their drinks and, you know, assaulting. Well, the assaulting of minors, you know, you can't consent. There was some guy talking about, well, all those people were consenting. And no, they weren't. Kids can't consent. Fucking op. You're obviously a mark. You're obviously somebody they put up to try to defend Puffy, because nobody else has been. So, yeah, stay tuned. We're just in April. We're about to be in May, though. But still, it's a very early part of the year. And it's been buck wild, off the chain. All right. Have an amazing day. Happy, happy Tuesday. What's today? The 23rd. That's right. It's been 6 years. And I got some stories to tell. You'll be amused. You will be amused. And horrified. Don't forget the horrified. All right. Take care.